them saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they are the prophets which were before you. Great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, ye men of Judea, all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens will I pour out in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of all the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. What an awesome God we serve today. What an awesome Savior. What an awesome book. What a wonderful book. Within this ample volume lies the mystery of mysteries. Happy is they of human race to whom their God hath given grace to read, to fear, to hope, to pray, to lift the latch, to force the way. But better had they never been born than read to doubt or read to scorn. Have you your Bible with you this morning? Raise it up real high. This is God's Word. It doesn't contain God's Word. It is God's Word. And it's preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. We can read it. We can heed it. We can hide it in our hearts. We can hold it forth to a gainsaying world. And now if you'll open your Bible, oh, by the way, when we open the Bible opens the mind of God. I want to see what God's thinking about this morning on this last Sunday of the year 2008 in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 7. As you're finding your place, perhaps I should remind you, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and marrow, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And I'm glad it's settled for us too, right here in this book we call the Bible. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7, I read verses 13 and 14 after we pray. And now, Heavenly Father, we beseech thee to bless us in this hour. We bring before thee our needs of every person in this room, young and old, husband and wife, grandparents, grandchildren, people who've come to worship thee, to hear thy word. I pray your blessings and benedictions upon them, and upon the reading of the scripture and the preaching of the gospel. And I pray that the Lord Jesus might have preeminence. And I pray if there be those that are without him, having never trusted him, having never tasted the heavenly gift, that they may come and taste to see that the Lord is good. In his name we pray, for his sake with thanksgiving. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7, at verse number 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. From the archives of English history comes a fascinating, intriguing story about a young man who had an interview with William Gladstone, the Prime Minister of England. They met in Mr. Gladstone's office. He began the conversation with this question: "Young man, what do you plan to do with your life?" To which the young man replied, "I hope to study at Oxford and earn a law degree." Mr. Gladstone asked, "What then?" The young man answered, "Then I hope to go into government and do some great things for England." Mr. Gladstone asked, "What then?" The young man replied, "Then I'd like to retire, live in the country, and enjoy my children and my grandchildren." Mr. Gladstone asked, "What then?" The young man said, "Well, I suppose I'll die." In grave tones, and with pathos in his voice, Mr. Gladstone asked, "What then?" The young man answered, "Well, sir, I haven't thought about that." Mr. Gladstone said, "Young man, you're a fool. Go home and think life through." Well, ladies and gentlemen, I agree with Mr. Gladstone's assessment. Any man is a fool who leaves God out of his life his plans, his future. God agrees with that assessment. Remember the story that Jesus told about the rich man who tore down his bonds and built bigger bonds and put up many goods in them and said to his soul, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat and drink and be merry." And like a bolt of lightning out of the sky, God said, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. And then whose shall these things be that thou hast provided?" The wise Solomon agrees with that assessment because he wrote in Proverbs 28 at verse 26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." The young man in my story is like so many people today, time wise and eternity foolish. I heard about this older gentleman who went into a department store with an old fashioned purse. Some of you are old enough to remember what the old men used to carry, a long purse about so long and about so wide, had two compartments. On one side were the coins, on the other side, the currency. While he was waiting for the clerk to wrap the package that he had purchased, he opened the side of the coins and a penny fell out. Laying his purse on the counter, he got down on all fours searching for the penny. And while he was on all fours searching for the penny, someone stole his purse with several $100 bills in the other compartment. And that's just like a lot of people. It could be that I'm speaking now to someone who's seeking a penny's worth of pleasure while you're allowing the devil to steal your priceless soul. I recall the words of Jesus, Mark 8:36. "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now, by way of introduction, by the way, I haven't started preaching yet. I'll let you know when I'm ready to start preaching. This is introduction. By way of introduction, I want you to observe with me several fundamental, inescapable, unavoidable truths from my text. Are you ready for these? Truth number one. There are two destinations, heaven and hell. That's what Jesus said. Truth number two, the way to hell is broad and wide. That's what Jesus said. Truth number three, the way to heaven is straight and narrow. That's what Jesus said. Truth number four, the majority of the people in the world are going to hell. That's what Jesus said. Truth number five, and this strikes close home to every person in this room. My friend, whatever your state or status, whatever your name or your nationality, whatever your class or your creed, whatever your condition or your credential, you are on the way to heaven or hell. Which is it with you? Truth number six. Jesus knows where you are going, and so do you. Truth number seven. Your destiny depends on the road you're traveling. The high road leads to heaven. The low road leads to hell. And I must tell you that it is choice and not chance that determines your final and eternal destiny. Where you go hereafter depends on what you are going after here. By the way, what are you going after here? Fame? Fortune? Popularity? Position? Pleasure? The poet put it this way, "The tissue of life to be, we weave with colors our own, and in the field of destiny, we reap as we have sown." If you're saved, you will reap everlasting life in heaven with joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you're lost, you'll reap eternal damnation in hell, where their worm dieth not, and the fires are never quenched. That's what Jesus said. Now I'm ready to preach. I've entitled the message, Destination Somewhere. The businessman may say, I have no interest whatsoever in the hereafter. My goal is to make money here and now. But that does not change the fact that he has a destination, and he will spend eternity somewhere. The sociologist may say, I believe we should concern ourselves with problems of this life and not worry about any life hereafter. But that does not change the fact that he has a destination, and he will spend eternity somewhere. The skeptic may say, well, nobody can be sure there's a God and a hereafter. So let's live high, die young, and have a good time while it lasts. But ladies and gentlemen, that does not change the fact that he has a destination, and he will spend eternity somewhere. A politician may say, we're going to make this earth a wonderful place to live out our days in peace and in prosperity without any concern about the hereafter. But that does not change the fact that he has a destination, and he will spend eternity somewhere. The agnostic said, well, don't talk to me about heaven and hell. We have our heaven and our hell right here on this earth. But that does not change the fact that he has a destination, and he will spend eternity somewhere. The religionist may say, we should do the best we can and just abide by our own moral laws and leave our destiny to fate. But that does not change the fact that he has a destination, and he will spend eternity somewhere. The atheist may say, religion is a fake, and I expect someday to discover the bones of Jesus Christ rotting away in a Palestinian tomb. But ladies and gentlemen, that does not change the fact that he has a destination, and he will spend eternity somewhere. May I get personal? What do you say about life, about death, about time, about eternity, about God, about the Bible, about heaven, about hell, about the hereafter? You may say to me, but preacher, I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in any hereafter. May I say it as kindly and compassionately as I know how to say it? That does not change the fact that you have a destination, and you will spend eternity in hell if you do not repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Somebody says, but now, preacher, this is 2008, it's almost 2009, this is the 21st century, that's old time stuff. It's as new as God. It's as new as the Bible. It's as new as eternity. It's as new as you are. It never grows old. It never goes out of date. The Bible says you're under the sentence of death. The Bible says you have an appointment with the judge of the universe. You are right now on death row, and your execution could come at any moment. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Paul wrote in Romans 14, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. John said in Revelation 20, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Could I ask you a personal question? Is your name written there? On that page, bright and fair, is your name written there? I have two questions I want you to answer now. Please listen carefully. They are both multiple choice questions. They each have seven answers, but only one answer is correct. Question number one, are you ready for this? If you were returning to the United States from Europe, which one of the following things would you depend on to get you back into this country? Answer number one, a Spanish driver's license. Answer number two, a diploma from Oxford. Answer number three, a cookbook from France. Answer number four, a letter of recommendation from the Queen of England. Answer number five, a telegram from the President of Greece. Answer number six, a $1,000 American Express check. Answer number seven, a valid United States passport. That's the correct answer. Without number seven, you will never get back into this country. You must have a valid passport. Now, question number two. Please listen very carefully. This is far more important than question number one. And question number two has only one correct answer. Are you ready? If you were to die right now, which of the following would you depend on to get you into heaven? Answer number one, the fact that you've always been a good church member. Answer number two, the fact that you were baptized as a child. Answer number three, the fact that you believe there is a God. Answer number four, the fact that you did your best to live up to the Ten Commandments. Answer number five, the fact that you abided by the Golden Rule. Answer number six, the fact that you were honest, kind, and truthful. Answer number seven, the fact that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you experienced the new birth. Ladies and gentlemen, number seven is the correct answer. Unless you can testify to number seven, you will never, I repeat, you will never enter into heaven. The new birth is your passport to God's celestial city. That's what Jesus said. He said it in John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The Bible says we've all gone astray. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans 5:12 that every member of Adam's ruined and wretched race is under the condemnation of death. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so then death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But I've got good news for you. God loves the sinner. That's what Jesus said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Paul says, but God commendeth his love toward us, while that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Herein is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. My friend, Jesus Christ paid the sin debt for you. And I want to tell you one more time, he didn't put a down payment on it and expect you to make installments. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The Bible says there's salvation only in one person, and that person is Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven be saved. The Bible says all you have to do to be saved is to go to Jerusalem or go to... Oh, no. You don't have to make a trek to Jerusalem. You don't have to go to Rome. You don't have to go to Medina or Mecca or Dallas. All you need do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's in the book. And God wrote the book. Now let's hear the conclusion. You're either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. There's no middle ground. You alone can determine your destination. You alone will choose the place where your never dying soul will spend eternity. Which will it be with you? Will it be heaven? Or will it be hell? Hell is hell, ladies and gentlemen. And hell is real. There'll be no one there to put a drop of water on your parching tongue. There'll be no stand-up comedian to make you laugh. There'll be no escape valve. The Bible says, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and forever, and they have no rest, day nor night. Someone wrote this, and I'll read it to you. Hell is the prison house of despair. Here are some things that won't be there. No flowers will bloom on the banks of hell. No beauties of nature we love so well. No comforts of home, music and song. No friendship of joy will be found in that throng. No children to brighten that long weary night. No love nor peace. Nor one ray of light. No blood-washed soul with face beaming bright. No loving smile in that region of night. No mercy, no pity, no pardon, no grace, no water. Oh God, what a horrible place! The pangs of the lost no human can tell, not one moment's ease. There is no rest in hell. Hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that will be there. Fire and brimstone will be there, we know, For God in his word has told us so. Memory, remorse, suffering and pain, weeping and wailing, but all in vain. Blasphemers, swearers, haters of God, Christ rejecters while here on earth they trod, murderers, gamblers, drunkards, and liars will all have their part in the lake of fire. The filthy, the vile, the cruel, and the mean. What a horrible mob in hell will be seen. Yes, more than humans on earth can tell of the torments and woes of an eternal hell. I share with you a story that I have shared several times in the last 40-some years, but many of you have not heard it. This doesn't come out of a book. This doesn't come from London or Wales or the Netherlands or Scotland or the British Isles or from one of the great divines of 500 years ago. This comes from my own life experience. A few years ago, I was visiting in the city of Jacksonville, Florida, where I was an associate pastor. I was on Market Street in Jacksonville, Florida. I'll never forget. I came upon one house as I was going from door to door, where there was a man sitting on the front porch. I walked up on the front porch. I introduced myself. I'm Raymond Barber. I'm from Berea Baptist Church. Well, he said, I'm Robert Barnett. What do you want, young man? I stated my business. We talked for a few moments. I sat in the swing by him. The time came for me to leave, and I stood up and I said, I want to have a prayer with you. Well, go ahead and pray, he said. It won't do me any good. I prayed. I turned and walked off the porch and got down on the level, and I turned and walked back and he said to me, by the way, young man, I don't have time for God and the Bible. I said to him, I never asked a man a question this before. I was a young preacher. I said to him, he lived only 3 blocks from the church. I said to him, what if they call around next week and ask me to come and have the funeral for you? He laughed and said, well, you tell them that old Robert Barnett is one man that split hell wide open. I couldn't believe in my ears. I asked him to repeat it, and he did. I came back 2 weeks later. It was about the 1st of December by this time. It was a little cooler in Jacksonville, and he invited me to come on in, little preacher, he said. We sat down and talked. I stated my business again. He said exactly the same thing. I left discouraged and disappointed. I came back in the middle of December. This time his wife was there. I said to him when I got ready to leave, after we'd passed the time of day and I'd stated again my business there, he said, you tell him old Robert Barnett is one man that split hell wide open. I turned and left. Well, I said to him before I left, I wish you'd come this coming Sunday because it's family day. Oh, no, he said, I don't have time for families. I don't have time for Bible church. Well, do you still want me to yes, tell them that old Robert Barnett is one man that split hell wide open. But he said, you know what, young man? He reached up and pulled the calendar off the wall. He turned the December page over. He put a circle around the first Sunday of January the next year. He said, little preacher, that's the day that I'll be there. You can count on me. I will be at your church on this Sunday. I left encouraged. I thought, well, good night. He's going to be there. He made it very plain, very emphatic. January the 6th came, and Robert Barnett did not come. But when I went into my office the next afternoon, there was a note on my desk that read this way. You have the funeral service for Robert Barnett Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. He was killed instantly in an automobile accident on Saturday night. Tuesday came and the funeral time came and the message was delivered and the people passed by one by one. Finally, his wife came. She stood there for a moment, looked into his face, with tears streaming down her eyes. She put one hand under this side of his body and the other hand under the other side of his body and literally lifted him up as far as she could out of the casket. She kissed him on the forehead and said, "Robert, if I ever see you again, I know it will be in hell." My friend, don't let that happen to you. Life is uncertain. Death is sure. Sin is the curse. Christ is the cure. Let's stand, please, for our prayer. Every head bow, the altar is already open. The invitation has already begun. You do not have to wait until we announce a song or prayer if God has spoken to your heart. Search your heart this morning. Are you depending on church membership? In fact, you were baptized when you were a child. You've kept the golden rule. You've done the best you knew how to do. That's not going to work, my friend. Only one thing. Only one passport into heaven, and that's the new birth. Have you been born again? If you're here this morning and you've never trusted the Savior, I trust you would come today. Place your faith in Him. Remember, life is uncertain. Remember, death is sure. Remember, sin is the curse. Christ is the cure. Perhaps you're here today and you are saved, but things are uneasy in your life. You need help, or you need counsel or guidance or wisdom or direction or someone to lay a hand on your shoulder and say a prayer for you. Why don't you step out of your seat this morning? Even now, while the Holy Spirit speaks. Heavenly Father, speak to all of our hearts this morning. I pray if there be those without the Savior, they would come and trust Him. For those, Heavenly Father, who have not the assurance of their salvation, they're depending on something, but they are not depending on Thee. For those who have burdens and problems in their lives, in their hearts, in their homes. For some who may need to unite with the fellowship of the church or rededicate their lives to Thee today. May they come and do it now. In Jesus' name I pray.